want to speak about, I think it's a nice siyum of the year, to speak about the concept of machlokas and shalom. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, machlokas l'shem shamayim sofa l'hiskayim. Machlokas l'shem shamayim in the end will be preserved. L'chori, you don't want to preserve machlokas. And machlokas shalom l'shem shamayim ain sofa l'hiskayim. What it means is the following. The Meiri says that a machlokas l'shem shamayim is where two people argue or more with each other. And machlokas shalom l'shem shamayim is where people argue against each other. Meaning the following. Shalom does not mean peace, serenity, quiet, the lack of fighting. Shalom means shlemus, perfection. Shlemus, the only shlemus that exists is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Nothing else in the Bria is shalem by itself. Shlemus is only the result of many things working together. Many imperfect things working together form with Achdus creates more shlemus. On the physical level, nothing in this world can achieve the purposes of the world by itself. It's only when everything works together is there a functioning universe. On the social level, no one person can do all the functions that this world needs. If everybody would be doctors, the world would be a very healthy place, but who would take out the garbage? And if everybody would be garbage men, the world would be a very clean place, but who would heal the sick? So socially, shlemus is only when many different functions work together. And the same thing goes in the ruchnistic world. We pride ourselves that we received the Torah that has 613 mitzvahs. That is a myth. There is no one that could ever keep 613 mitzvahs. Because some of the mitzvahs are specifically for Kohanim. So if you're not a Kohen, there's no way you could ever have 613 mitzvahs. So what do you tell me? So Kohanim have 613 mitzvahs. Not true. Because there are certain mitzvahs that are only for non-Kohanim. So if you're a Kohen, you're missing some mitzvahs. And if you're a non-Kohen, you're missing other mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs are only for men. There's no way that a woman could ever be mekayim those mitzvahs. And some mitzvahs are only for women. At least in my lifetime, I'm hoping that no man will ever bring a carbon yoledis. So unless you are a Kohen, Levi, Israel, man and woman wrapped into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances was not, you can't have tarig mitzvahs. So what is this idea of tarig mitzvahs? The idea is we receive the Torah ke'ish echad b'lev echad, as one conglomerate achdus. And that is Klal Yisrael. So there is no shlemus in this world unless things work together. Machlokes l'shem shamayim means that each one has their role, each one has their idea, and they're arguing together to come to the truth. And it's only when all the different sides are represented that the truth can come out. Because otherwise, maybe you're making a mistake. So if you have people arguing, each one representing a different standpoint, until they work it out and come to at least either a compromise or they both admit that one of them is right, that is the way to arrive at truth. And they're not arguing against each other. They both win in the end. Because they're concerned not to be right, but what is right. And therefore, sofa l'iskayim, machlokas l'shem shamayim, in the end, both sides will be preserved. Both sides will get what they want. They don't want to necessarily win. They want to know what's right. And by arguing it out, they'll know what's right. Doesn't make a difference who's right and who's wrong, or if both of them are wrong or both of them are right. where everybody wants to win. They want to be right. They want to be the only one. They don't want to work together with others. That's machlokas l'shem shamayim, and only one person can win. And therefore, ein sofa l'shkayim. It's impossible that both sides should win in a machlokas shalom l'shem shamayim. Korach didn't understand that idea. And therefore the parsha starts, Vayikach Korach, Lokach es atzmo l'tzad echad. He took himself off to the side. Instead of being part of an achdus, where everybody has their specific role to play, and everybody works together with everyone else, and what you do benefits me, and what I do benefits you. And that's how we reach Shlemus. Korach wanted to do it all on his own. He wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. It wasn't enough that Aaron was the Kohen Gadol, and Korach was had his function. In fact, the Shem Mishmuel says that had Korach not made his machlokas, then Korach would have had a very, very special role in Klal Yisrael. He would have created a new job that never existed because he was the only one who was fit to start it off. Levi Gadol. There would have been a Levi Gadol, just like there's a Kohen Gadol. And Korach would have filled that position, the first one, and from then on there would have been Leviim Gedolim. But since Korach wanted to be Kohen Gadol, he didn't end up doing his part. He never became the Levi Gadol. The idea that shalom is not necessarily serenity, quiet, not fighting. Sometimes you have to fight for shalom. Because shalom, again, means shlemus. And sometimes there are rishayim in the world that deter shlemus. And the only way to bring shlemus, to bring shalom, is by destroying them. Ein shalom omar Hashem l'rasha. Rishayim destroy shlemus. So destroying them brings shlemus. Proof to that is the following medrash. The pasuk seems to say very clearly that the reason David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash is the Binyan HaShalom. It's a place that brings Shalom to Klal Yisrael. And David HaMelech was involved in a lot of wars, and he had the blood of many people on his hands, and because his hands were sullied with blood, he couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash of Shalom. But Shlomo HaMelech, whose very name was Shalom, so he could build the Beis HaMikdash. There's another medrash though. The Medrash says that the Rabbanu Shalom tells David HaMelech, I can't let you build the Beis HaMikdash. Because if you build the Beis HaMikdash, it will be eternal. And I can't at this time have an eternal Beis HaMikdash, because Klal Yisrael are not on that Madrega. And if they sin, and I don't have the option of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to have to destroy them. The only thing that will shock Klal Yisrael to do tshuva over a long galus is Churban Beis HaMikdash. And if I don't have that option, then Klal Yisrael will have nothing that will save them from destruction. But Shlomo HaMelech, he'll build a Beis HaMikdash that's not eternal. That's fine. Seems to be contradictory. David HaMelech wasn't allowed to build a Beis HaMikdash because he would have built it more eternal, or because his hands were full of blood and he couldn't build a Binyan HaShalom. I think that the answer is the following. David HaMelech, who did he kill? He killed Rishoyim. He didn't kill good people. He killed Rishoyim who impeded and deterred the perfection of the world. David HaMelech had an aggressive Shalom. By killing Rishoyim, he brought Shalom in a very aggressive way. That kind of Shalom was so strong that if he built the Beis HaMikdash, it would be eternal. And that couldn't be. Shlomo HaMelech had a passive shalom. There was no reason to have to create shalom. There just was nothing deterring it. A passive shalom is not strong. That shalom will build a Beis HaMikdash that's destroyable. So shlemus and shalom is not always achieved by passivity. Sometimes it's achieved by fighting for it. In any case, so what is it that represents this idea of people understanding that they have to work together and they can't do it all on their own? and it's enough that there's one Kohen Gadol, and he does his job, and that helps for everybody else, and everybody else has their job to do, which helps for everybody else. And not everybody has to duplicate everybody else's job. In fact, that's the Isra of Losach Mode. Losach Mode is predicated, I think we spoke about this in Parshas Yisro, is predicated on the fact that everybody understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu apportions out to each person their role in this world. And he gives them what they need to fulfill their role. And what I have has no connection to you, because it's specifically for my role. I think we gave an example, if you have a doctor and a shoemaker, and the doctor gets an ultrasound machine, and the shoemaker gets a sewing machine, there's not going to be any jealousy between the doctor and the shoemaker. Each one knows he doesn't need what the other one has. It's not his role in this world. It's not his profession. But let another doctor get a better ultrasound machine, or a better shoemaker get a better sewing machine, then there's jealousy. If everybody in this world would understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives each person a role to play, and he gives him the props he needs to fulfill his role, and the costume he needs to fulfill his role, then there's no place for jealousy. What you have is fits your role. I don't need it. What I have fits my role. You don't need it. So how do people get that feeling that this is a team effort, and everybody has to work together and contribute their unique part and benefit from everybody else's unique part, which is called machlokes l'shem shamayim. Machlokes meaning everybody is different. Everybody has their ideas, their opinions, their role, their specific talents, abilities, capabilities, physical attributes, material possessions, and that is their contribution. There's differences, machlokas, but it all's to work together, l'shem shamayim. That's what shamayim is. That's why it's called l'shem shamayim. Shamayim is fire and water working together to make shamayim. That's shamayim. And when people don't work together, and everybody is fighting to get everything for themselves, that's Gehenna. That's not shamayim, that's Gehenna. And that's exactly what Korach got. Living Gehenna. People who make machlokas create a living Gehenna in this world. So how is that shalom brought about, and what prevents that shalom? There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says that if you see three things in a dream, you should hope that shalom will enter your life. It's a sign that shalom is entering your life. What are those three things? A river, a bird, and a pot. Rabbi Feldman has a book called The River, the Kettle, and the Bird. Bird, river, and kettle, something like that. Speaks about shalom bayis. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to tell you, but it's a nice book. I'm going to tell you a different idea of why these three things represent shalom. There are three things that prevent a person from being a team worker, from being part of the team, which is shalom, which is machlokas l'shem shamayim. That is hakina, v'hataiva, v'hakavod, motziin es ha'odah min ha'olam. There are many different explanations of what that mission in Pirkei Avos means. Which world does it take you out of? This world, the next world? But I think there's another meaning. These three things take a person out of society. You can't be a productive member of society where you're part of the team if you have kina, taiva, or kavod. They prevent a person from working together with other people. Let's see why. Kina is jealousy. Like we said, jealousy is the isra of losach mode. If you're jealous, that means that you think that what someone else has a connection to you. That you don't understand that the Rabbanu Shlom gives each person what they need to contribute their unique part towards the common good. And that is shalom, shleimus, team effort. You think that everybody can do whatever they want, anybody can do whatever they can do, and everybody has to do it for themselves. Then you can't be a team. You want to do everything on your own. You're jealous of somebody else instead of realizing that you should work together with them, they do their part, you do your part. And the two parts have no connection one with the other, except that both benefit from what each one does. So kina prevents a person from being a team worker. Taiva. The pasuk says in Mishlei, l'taiva yivakesh nifrad. When a person's about taiva, he wants to be alone. He doesn't want to be mixed in with other people because he doesn't want to share his taivas with other people. He wants the whole pie for himself. He doesn't want to share the pie with anybody else. There are certain taivas that you can't get alone. You need to get your taivas with other people. A very parava example, okay, even though there are other more obvious examples, but a parava example is a bank robber. Okay? A bank robber would like to rob all the money in the bank and keep it for himself, but he can't do it on his own because he needs a driver to drive the getaway car, and he needs a explosives expert to know how to blow up the safe, and he needs a sentry to watch. I'm not exactly that adept in robbing banks, but all of these things seemingly from my younger years of watching bank robbery films, that's what they needed. So you need a lot of people to rob a bank. But in the end, that isn't working together ba'achtus. That is manipulating other people for your needs. Because in the end, usually what happens is that these people, after they get the money, fight with each other and kill each other until somebody ends up with all the money. So they're not working together with other people. They're manipulating other people for their needs. The same thing goes with all other things that people are bali taiva. They want to satisfy their needs, and even though sometimes to satisfy your desires you need other people, but sometimes you're not working together with other people, you're manipulating other people for your ends, for your desires. That's not called achdus, that's called manipulation. So the taiva yivakesh nifrad. Taiva makes it hard for a person to want to share responsibility and benefits, because you don't want to share anything, you want everything for yourself. And the third thing is covet. Kina taiva covet. If you want all the honor, you don't want anybody else to get the honor. So if you're on a baseball team, right, and you're the shortstop, you don't want to throw the ball to first base that the first baseman should get honor. You want to run to first base and tag the guy out. So you want to be the pitcher, the catcher, the shortstop, the outfielder. You want to get all the covet for yourself. You don't share with anybody else. You can't be a team player if you want all the covet for yourself. So those things prevent shlemus. They prevent a person from functioning within society. These three things, if you see them in a dream, are the antithesis. They counteract kina, taiva, and covet. Let's see how. A river. A river counteracts kina. What is kina? I don't feel that I have anything to contribute. I only want to be somebody else. That is what kina is. Lo sachmod. Never bother you. The Torah says, lo sachmod eshesri echo, v'shoro, v'chamoro, v'chol asher l'riecho. Don't want your neighbor's wife or his donkey. How could the Torah use the same verb of wanting your neighbor's wife and wanting your neighbor's donkey? L'cha'ora, it is not the same feeling. Unless there's something very sick about the guy, or something very good about the donkey, or something very not good about the wife. But unless one of those things exists, you can't want your neighbor's wife and your neighbor's donkey with the same feeling. So why does the Torah group them together? The answer is that kina is not that you want the thing for its merits. That's a different, that could be taiva. That's not kina. Kina is, I am not happy being me, and I want to be somebody else. I don't recognize that I have a role to play in this world, and I don't think I'm important, I'm a nobody. But if I was just him, then I'd be somebody. So I want to be him, I want his donkey, I want his wife, I want everything about him, because that's what's important. It's all the same thing. I don't want it for its merits. I want it because I want to be him. That's kingdom. So a river teaches me not like that. A river is a very powerful thing. Water power can run mills, can run electric stations. But only if it stays within its boundaries. When a river overflows its boundaries, then it's a flood and it's destructive. So if you see a river in a dream, it tells you not to be a person who has kina. Stay within your realm, within your purpose, your function, your station in this world, and you have tremendous power. Everybody was given abilities, capabilities, and talents. You can accomplish a lot. You're somebody. But if you try to go outside of your boundaries and try to be somebody else, then you're like a flood. Very destructive. So a river counteracts kina. The next thing is the bird. That counteracts covet. Covet means that a person considers himself heavy. Chai Adam says, covet comes from the word kaved, heavy. When you respect somebody, you honor them, you consider them heavy. In today's vernacular, that is not necessarily a positive thing. But in the 1960s in America, in the slang, heavy meant an important idea. That's a heavy idea, right? He's a heavy person. Today, if you say that, you get slapped. But it meant an important person that in Yiddish we say farnems in ort. He occupies a space. You can't just push him out of the way. He's a heavy. He's not just movable. You can't just push him out of the way. Somebody that you respect means that you consider them important. You can't just push them out of the way. And somebody who looks for covet for himself says, I'm not moving for anybody. I occupy a space. I'm heavy. Can't move me out of the way. I don't yield for anybody. A bird is the opposite of that. A bird is very light and flexible. You want to go climb a tree, the bird will go down the ground. You want to be on the ground, the bird will fly into the tree. The bird is very light and flexible, is the opposite of a person who's looking for covet, who says, I'm not flexible, I'm not yielding to anybody, they'll have to walk around me, they'll have to yield to me. So if you see a bird, it counteracts covet. And a pot counteracts taiva. Taiva, bottom line is, people who are bali taiva don't do anything unless there's something in it for them. What am I going to get out of this? What's in it for me? Bottom line. Am I going to get any enjoyment out of this? Then I'll do it. If not, it's not worth it. That's taiva. And therefore, the person wants everything for himself, so he can't be part of society because he's not interested in sharing the pie with anybody else. A pot counteracts that. If you have water and fire, and you pour the water on the fire, then one of two things is going to happen. If there's more water than fire, the water's going to put out the fire. If there's more fire than water, the fire is going to boil away the water. Fire and water can't coexist unless the water's in a pot and the pot's on the fire. The pot forms a catalyst that enables the water and the fire to work together to make cooking, to have a good result. What does the pot get out of it? Burnt. Black. No benefit. That's a pot. Sometimes you have to be a pot. You gain nothing, but you act as a catalyst for other people to be able to work together. You bring people together. You don't gain anything from it. Just the opposite. Sometimes you get burned from it in black. But it's worth it if you can make that achdus in the world and make that unity in the world. So those are the things that counteract the things that prevent shalom and achdus, kina, taiva, and kavod. The things that counteract it is a river, a bird, and a pot. Korach, and therefore you need leaders for a few reasons, and Korach didn't understand the major reason why you need a leader. Korach said, Ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, uvesocham Hashem, umadua tisnasu'u al kahal Yisrael. Kahal Hashem. Kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim, uvesocham Hashem, umadua tisnasu'u al kahal Hashem. There are three designations for a tzibur. One is kahal, the other is Eda, and the other is Yisrael. Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. Korach recognized two of them, he didn't recognize the third. And therefore he said there's no need for leaders. Every man for himself. One purpose is a kahal. A kahal means a unity, physical unity, where people congregate. A kahal is a congregation. What's the word congregation mean? People congregate together physically in one place, and they're all together physically as a congregation. That's a kahal. Vayikohalu ayuhudim by Megillas Esther. They gather together to fight physically. They're all in one place. That's one idea of a tzibur. There are strength in numbers. Enodome yochid oses hamitzis l'rabim oses hamitzis. Berovam hadras melech. There's honor to the Rabbanim when people do things together in numbers. There's strength in numbers. That's one idea of a tzibur. People doing the same thing together. Strength together. Physically. That's a kahal. Then there's an eda. An eda comes from the Lashon of edus. They all testify towards the same principles, values, goals. Eda also has a connection to the word ya'ad. Soon you'll be in the airport. Look up at that big board in the Hebrew, and you'll see what it says in English. Destination in Hebrew is ya'ad. Ya'ad means that all the people have the same destination. They're all going the same place. They may not be physically in the same place, but they have the same values and standards that they testify to and that they're moving towards that unites them. They could be scattered all over the world, but they have similar values and standards. That's an Eda. An Eda doesn't necessarily have to be united physically, but united in principle, in goals, in destination. That's an Eda. Korach recognized that fact, and he said, so what do you need a leader for? You need a leader to help make the kahal, to give them somebody to rally around. You need a leader to help make the people and give them the right values and standards, to make them an Eda. Those are the functions of a leader that Korach understood. Therefore, ki kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim. If the whole Eda is Kodesh, and they have the right values, and the right standards, and the right goals, and the right destination, then what do you need a leader for? That leader is called the Kohen Gadol. What do you need a Kohen Gadol for if everybody's holy? The purpose of the Kohen Gadol is to make people holy. But the whole Eda is Kedoshim. They don't need a Kohen Gadol. We already have an Eda. We all testify to the same values and goals. We all heard on Har Sinai Anochi and Lo Yelecha. We all were raised to the highest levels of Nevuah. So what do we need a Kohen Gadol for? Kol Ha'eda Kulam Kedoshim. Uvesocham Hashem. Another purpose of a leader is to rally everybody physically and unite them physically around one leader who unites them. But Besocham Hashem. We don't need a leader to unite us. We have the Rabbanu Shel Olam, whose Mishkan is in the center of, and everybody unites around that. What do we need a Moshe Rabbeinu for? What do we need a Melech for? Ubesocham Hashem. Umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. You don't need a leader to make us a kahal. We have the Rabbanu Shel Olam who we unite around. We don't need a king. So Moshe, we don't need you, and Aaron, we don't need you. We need a Kohen Gadol when not everybody's Kodesh, and the Kohen Gadol has to make them Kodesh. We're all Kodesh. We need a Melech when we need somebody to unite the people to rally around something. We have something to rally around, the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So what was Korach's mistake? Chori was right. There's one more function of a tzibur, is this concept of Shleimus. Yisroel. Yisrael is Rashi Tevos, Yeshishim Ribui Osios LaTorah. There are 600,000 letters to the Torah. It's a Zohar. And that, those words spell, the first letters spell Yisrael. Yesh, Yud, Shishim, Shin, Ribui, Resh, Osios, Aleph, LaTorah. Now, everybody understands that to mean that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, and there are 600,000 root neshamas of Klal Yisrael. Everybody is part of a cluster of neshamos. There are 600,000 clusters. And therefore, every Jew is part of a letter in the Torah. 600,000 letters, 600,000 cluster neshamos. Every letter is made up of many letters, so that represents this cluster of neshamos. Every cluster of neshamos has its letter in the Torah. Every Jew is a letter in the Torah. Beautiful. There's only one problem. There are not 600,000 letters in the Torah. So what do you tell me? Okay, you know, gematrias are plus or minus one or two. How many are missing? 300,000. There are only 305,588 letters in the Torah. I think that's what it is, or maybe it's 855. It's something like that. 305,000, or 304,588. I think that's what it is. So it's not missing one or two. It's missing like half. So I know about 11 answers to this question. How it can be 600,000 letters when there's only 304,000 letters that we see. But I don't think there's any question. You don't need an answer when there's no question. The question would only be if it said that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Yeshishim Ribui Osios Batorah, because then it wouldn't spell Yisrael. It would spell Yisra'ab. In order to spell Yisrael, it has to read, Yeshishim Ribui Osios La Torah. Which I think means the following. There are 304,000 written letters in the Torah. But you have to add another 600,000 letters to make the Torah complete. Those are the neshamas of the Jewish people. Yisrael, v'yoraisa, v'kudsha brichu chadav. The Torah isn't complete without the Jewish people. And that's the 600,000 letters to the Torah, not in the Torah. But it's still the same idea. Just like in the written Torah, there are 304,000 letters, and every letter is different. Either only 22 different letters. But no, the Beis in Bereishis is not the same Beis in Bara. What comes before it, what comes after it, what word it's in, what parsha it's in, what sefer it's in, all make it unique. So every Jew is unique. Every Jew has his place. And you need to be in the right place, in front of the one who you're supposed to precede and behind the one you're supposed to follow. In the right sefer, in the right whatever. And therefore, everybody has to work together with everybody else. Therefore, there's more to a leader than just somebody who unites the people and teaches them how to do it properly. There's another function. And the example I like to give is an orchestra leader. You can have an entire orchestra united in one place. They're all there. You don't need a leader to bring them together. They all know where to come, and they all have their place to sit, and they're all united. So you don't need a melech to rally them to one place. They're all in the same place. They are all accomplished musicians. You don't need somebody to teach them how to do it properly. But you still need an orchestra leader. You know why? Because each one is an expert, and everybody's there. But you need somebody to coordinate them, that they work together, that they all work together as an orchestra and not just do their own thing. For that, you need an orchestra leader. That's called Yisrael. For that, you need a different kind of leader. Not a leader who's going to make them more perfect, not a leader who's going to unite them, but a leader who's going to coordinate them. That's what Korach didn't understand. Korach understand you need an Eda, you need a kahal, you need a leader to make the kahal and make the eda. And we don't need that, because kol ha'eda kulam kedoshim uvesocham Hashem. But you need a Yisrael too. And that Yisrael needs a coordinator. And that's what Korach didn't understand, that you need coordination. Everybody contributes their unique part. Not everybody does everything for himself. The names of Korach, I think we can darshan, to tell us why people don't like to be part of a tzibur. Korach Korach has the connotation of kereach, bald. There are people who feel they don't have anything to contribute to the tzibur. Only other people, that's jealousy. I have nothing to contribute. It's only other people that are special. I'm nobody. So they don't feel they have anything to contribute, so they're not part of the tzibur. What do I have to contribute? Who am I? They don't recognize their strengths. That's kereach. That's one kind of person who's not part of the tzibur because he feels he has nothing to contribute. Then there's yitzar, the opposite. Yitzar means oil. Oil always rises to the surface. There are people who feel that they are too good to be part of a tzibur, because why would I want to condescend to all these peasants, right, when I am so special and I'm not going to mix together with these peasants, right? The tzibur, I'm above all of that. That's yitzar. Then there's kahas. Kahas can also mean kihui. Kihui means something that's acidic. Not chasidic, acidic. Acidic means it's very bitter. There are people in this world who are very bitter people. All they can do is complain. This is no good and that's no good and everything is no good. People like that can't be part of the tzibur because nothing is ever any good. Nobody's any good, and therefore I don't want anything to do with these people because they're all no good. That's kahas. They can complain. They can never do anything constructive. And then there's levi. Levi means an escort. Levaya. There are people who don't want to work. They want to get a free ride on other people's work. So they say, let the tzibur do everything and I'll benefit from it. But I don't want to have to do anything. I just want to get a free ride and be an escort to what other people are doing. People are lazy. So people who are either people who have no self-esteem, people who have too much self-esteem, people who are totally negative, and people who are lazy are people that have a hard time being part of a tzibur. And there's a mission in Pirkei Avos, which we'll end with, that also delineates, I think, why people don't want to be part of a tzibur. Similar to this idea, but not exact. The Mishnah says like this, Hillel omer al tifrosh min hatzibur. Hillel says a person should not separate himself from the tzibur. And then Hillel said four other things that don't seem to have any connection. Don't believe in yourself. Don't trust yourself until you die. And don't judge other people till you come to their place. Don't say on something that can't be heard, in the end it'll be heard. And al tomar lichashef neesh neshem alosipane. Don't say when I have time I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. Nice things, but what in the world do they have connection to each other? So therefore, I want to say that Hillel only said one thing: al tifrosh min hatzibur. And there are four excuses that people use why they don't want to be part of a tzibur, and Hillel answers the excuses. First reason: people say I don't need a tzibur. A tzibur is important for weaklings, for people who are insecure. They need peer pressure. They need a tzibur. They need a support group. But I am good enough on my own. I don't need people. Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Don't trust and believe in yourself till you die. Everybody needs support. Everybody needs a support system. Peer pressure. So that takes care of the first excuse. Second excuse: I would love to be part of the tzibur. I haven't found one that's fitting for me to be part of, because they're all no good. This one's no good, and that one's no good, and this one's an idiot, and the other one's an idiot, and why would I want to be part of this tzibur or any other tzibur? Al tadin eschadercha chetagilim komo. Don't make judgments about people from afar. When you deal with them, and you're part of them, then you can judge them. But from afar, don't make judgments. Therefore, be part of the tzibur. And maybe when you'll get closer to these people, either you'll find that they're not as bad as you thought from afar, or you'll find out that they're worse than you are. You talk, you shouldn't have anything to do with them. But don't make that decision from afar. Not until you work together with them. So first become part of the tzibur, then decide if this is a tzibur that's worth being part of or not. Third reason that people don't want to be part of a tzibur: they say, I tried being part of the tzibur and I gave them great advice and they never listened to me. Don't say on something that can't be heard that just wait, in the end they're going to see I'm right. Maybe in the end you're not right. Maybe your advice is not good advice. That's why people don't listen to it. Not that I'm sure whatever I say is right, and if they don't listen to it, they're a bunch of idiots. No, maybe your advice is not good. That's why they don't listen to it. Don't separate from the tzibur because they don't listen to you. Because maybe they shouldn't be listening to you. You should be listening to them. Maybe sometimes yes, sometimes not. Don't say on something that can't be heard, that's not right, in the end they'll see that I'm right. Maybe in the end they won't see you're right. Maybe you're not always right. So that's another excuse why people don't want to be part of the tzibur. Tzibur doesn't listen to me, so why should I be part of it? And the last reason is, people say, if I'm part of a tzibur, and I have to work for the tzibur, I'm wasting time. I could be learning Torah. I could be doing mitzvahs. I could be spending time with my family. If I'm involved with the tzibur, it takes time away from my family, from my mitzvahs, from my personal growth. It's true. But don't say, l'chashefne eshne. When I will have the time, because I won't devote it to the tzibur, I'll learn. Shem alisipana. Because if you're going to take time that you are required to give to the tzibur, Moshe Feinstein says, just like a person has to give meiser of his money to others, he has to give meiser of his time to others. And you have a responsibility to be involved with the community. And if you are going to use as an excuse that, well, I need time to learn, do mitzvahs, spend with my family, and therefore I'm not going to be involved with the community, Shema lo sipana, do you think that God is going to let you benefit from the time you're stealing from the community? He'll find other things to keep you busy with. You'll have other things that'll take up your time. You won't be able to benefit from that time. Don't say, when I'm free, because I won't be involved with the community, I'll learn. Because maybe you won't be free. The Rabbanu Shalom won't let you benefit from that time that you're stealing away from your responsibility to the community. So Hillel said four answers to excuses that people use why they don't want to be part of the community. And basically he said one thing: don't separate from the community and don't use these excuses because they don't hold water. So that is, to a certain degree, the lesson that we're supposed to learn from Parshas Korach. According to some Rishonim, there's an Isser, lo yiyek Korach v'chol adosam. You're not allowed to be a Baal Machlokas. So part of not being a Baal Machlokas is understanding that a person has to function within society, within the community he lives in, contribute, benefit, and not be a loner, not be somebody who only cares about himself. Okay, I think that's a good way to say goodbye to you. I really enjoyed teaching you. You're a great, great class, really. I would like to meet up with all of you. As you know, since I'm not here a lot, traveling around, so I'm sure that I will meet some of you, if not all of you, at some point, here or there. And don't come over me and say, remember my name? Because I don't know your name now. And it would be a miracle if I remembered your name, since I didn't know what to begin with. I teach about 1,000 different people over the week, and it's a little difficult to get to know everybody's name. But I do remember your faces. And I will remember who you are. And Amir Sashem, I hope to hear Besuros Tovos, each one in their proper time, from all of you. And you should go, Mechayel El Choyel. Okay.